I am very pleased to introduce our next speaker, Heidi Boghossian, who is the National Executive Director of the National Lawyers Guild. Now, I just want everyone to give her a round of applause. I just want to mention, like, for a lot of us who have been to a lot of demonstrations in D.C., we know how important the work of the National Lawyers Guild is and how much we've come to depend on their support in the struggle and their defense of our First Amendment rights. So thank you so much for being here, Heidi.
I am truly honored to have been invited here to be on this panel and to have worked with all of you in the streets. And my relationships since I've been with the Guild with the Cubans have been probably the most rewarding, and my few visits there have really enhanced my life. Thank you. Len Weinglass talked about the panel's decision, what was a remarkable decision and just, that described the confluence of prejudice and anti-Castro animus as, quote, a perfect storm, precluding the possibility of a fair trial for the five. That term could equally well describe this government at this moment, a confluence of powerful interests more dangerous than the blatant hatred in Miami. The eye of the storm is right here in Washington, D.C. Just a few blocks away from us sits the stronghold of military and moral aggression. This country's consistent efforts to undermine the Cuban government have ever been shameful, but the Bush administration has brought a special vehemence to anti-Cuban policies. It has launched a campaign to control the mass media here and public opinion by buying, literally paying for, misleading media coverage. We heard about this a few weeks ago, and our Cuban friends have known this was going on for a long time. Government-planted stories have spread disinformation about Cuba to maintain support for policies intended to isolate and starve the island nation. Beyond the moral travesty of this campaign, there is also its patent illegality. The government is prohibited by law from running covert propaganda operations designed to influence the media and the public to support the administration's anti-Cuba policies without identifying them as such. Yet secret operations to influence public sentiment and policymakers is a hallmark of the Bush administration. In 2002, the New York Times reported that the Pentagon's Office of Strategic Influence, with a multi-million dollar budget, was, quote, developing plans to provide news items, possibly false ones, to foreign media organizations. One of the military units assigned to carry out the policies of that was the U.S. Army Psychological Operations Command, PSYOPS, which has been accused of operating domestically as recently as the Kosovo War. Reports in foreign newspapers revealed that several officers from the 4th PSYOPS group, experts in propaganda, worked at CNN's Atlanta headquarters news division as part of, quote, an internship program, starting in the final days of the Kosovo War. Coverage of that story was scarce, but after Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting issued an action alert, CNN said it had terminated the program. The 4th PSYOPS group is the same group that staffed the National Security Council's now infamous Office of Public Diplomacy, which planted stories in the domestic media supporting the Reagan administration's Central American policies during the 1980s. Described by a senior U.S. official as, quote, a vast psychological warfare operation of the kind the military conducts to influence a population in enemy territory, the OPD was shut down after the Iran-Contra investigations, but not before influencing coverage in major news outlets, including the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, and the Washington Post. When Ricardo Alarcon recently learned that Bush had been paying reporters in Miami, he went back and compared the names of the journalist agents and found that they had all written anti-Castro stories during the trial of the five. When misleading news stories are planted by the government, it does incalculable damage to the democratic process. In the case of the five, the timing of the paid-for journalism suggests something even more insidious and more damaging to democracy. Influencing public opinion of Miami at the time of the Cuban Five trials amounted to jury tampering. In the case of the five, before the trial started, an aggressive propaganda campaign was launched accusing them of espionage, and it worked. According to a survey carried out at the time, 79% of those polled admitted to being biased against the defendants. And after the trial, as you know, coverage of the five in the media continues to be virtually non-existent, with a few exceptions that Gloria mentioned, even though their trial was newsworthy, as Len mentioned, in numerous ways. The longest it has ever taken place in U.S. history, lasting nearly 6 months, with over 100 volumes of transcripts and over 200 depositions. But we didn't hear about it in the U.S. press. So it's up to us to spread word of the five, because democracy is a sham if the public does not have access to full and accurate information about what its government is doing. We need to turn the tide of public opinion toward justice. So I urge you to consider writing op-ed pieces about the case, letters about your personal interactions with the movement, and letters to the editors, so that more will learn what really happened. And I pledge to go back to my office in New York and to put up some sample op-ed pieces and letters that people can write on our website, nlg.org. We will be telling our law school chapters to organize campaigns. And most importantly, tell your friends, as public word of mouth is still the most effective means of communication. Together, we will fight to free the five. Thank you.